You're tuning on Gordon GD's channel. Please stand by.
Hi, it's Gordon here again. I hope you're doing fine. The last 3 or 4 weeks have been quite hard on me. In fact, I've been admitted to hospital about 2 weeks ago now. Receiving treatment for a health issue that arose, but was able to return home just before Easter. So I spent Easter at home, which was great. I am still recovering, to be honest, but things are going fine. Apart from enjoying my Easter break and recovering, of course, I spent some time updating my blogs. In fact, today I'm decided to share 2 posts I wrote for one of my blogs, which is called The Zone Mind. For those who are familiar with The Zone Mind, it's a blog where I deal with life issues and reflect on life from a Buddhist point of view. But you should understand better what I'm talking about once you hear these posts being read to you by my screen reader, which generated the files. And just a short note about my screen reader, which is my visual impairment, have given me the opportunity to access my computer and the internet and also do many other things. So I hope you enjoy listening. Just for your information, the first post is called Confessions of a Buddhist at Heart, where I explain more about my journey of self-discovery and how I came to appreciate Buddhism. The second entry deals with peace and perfection, and it's called In Search of Peace and Perfection, and discusses our notions of peace and perfections and contests our ideas about these two concepts, and asks whether our ideas of peace and perfection are really that commendable or that good after all. I hope you enjoy listening, and please feel free to visit the blogs which I contribute to, and also don't hesitate to leave me a message or audible on this page. Thanks very much for listening, and hope you enjoy listening.
Sunday, April 8th, 2012. Confessions of a Buddhist at Heart. Sadness and happiness. I hesitate to express my thoughts and feelings. I'm afraid of being misunderstood, or even ridiculed. I have progressed a lot in my journey of self-discovery. I have tried to capture this experience in the pages of this blog. I have tried to find a greater meaning to my life and, perhaps, reaching beyond the limitations posed by a restricted view of the world. I sought happiness and satisfaction. I did all of those things. This journey has led me to a spiritual investigation encompassing rich traditions ranging from Christianity to Buddhism. I believe that this process has helped me grow and mature as a human being. I can truly say that I am happy. I really am. Yet, You might find it strange if I told you that this happiness is sometimes permeated by a sense of sadness. A sadness that I can't really put into words without distorting it. A sadness that I feel when I witness the human stories of unnecessary suffering often brought about by our failure to relate to others as equals. For, in truth, happiness is a state of being while sadness is an emotion. While we tell others not to be sad, feeling sad is an intrinsic part of life and, indeed, it makes us able to express our compassion to others. You may be happy but feel sad. As I type away, I am happy but sad because I know that people around the world are still facing pain and suffering while any pain and discomfort I experience pales in comparison. An awakening? I admit that today I came to embrace the teachings of the Buddha and to better understand what Jesus was teaching in the first century of the Common Era. Yet, in spite of these teachings of love and compassion, under the pretense of belief, we choose to separate ourselves in terms of proclamations. There are many ways which we may choose to define our belief. I may claim I'm a Jew, that I'm a Christian, that I'm a Muslim, that I'm a Hindu, that I'm a Sikh and so on. I may also claim that I'm a non-believer or even an atheist. Yet, there is no such a thing as a non-believer. Everyone believes in something or someone. It's part of being human. The danger is when we cling to those beliefs and close our minds and hearts to what we judge as being different or absurd. When you relate to another person, are you believing that the other person is, in some form or another, there, beyond yourself? Today, I declare I'm a Buddhist at heart. I don't claim that I adopted all aspects of Buddhism. I have questioned and still have doubts about some aspects. Yet, I have found meaning in what I learned. Ironically, perhaps, I am also discovering parallels with the teachings of Jesus and that of the Buddha. I'm not implying that these traditions are the same. What I'm saying is that they share a basic teaching of love and compassion. A message of forgiveness and reconciliation. And, I feel, this is the most important thing, if not the only important thing. By saying that I'm a Buddhist at heart, doesn't mean that I now detest all I learned from my upbringing as a Roman Catholic. On the contrary, it is an opportunity to more fully appreciate the different teachings and the wisdom contained within those teachings. For, I believe, these people didn't die to have millions of people kneel and pray to them. They certainly didn't want people to oppress or kill others in their name. What they really wanted was for us to change our minds and hearts and not close ourselves to a self, which scrutinized, reveals to be empty. In this sense, our emptiness isn't implying that we don't exist. Rather, it's saying that we cannot exist to ourselves. All we have and all we are is not our own. It's a gift we are given by those around us and by the world which sustains our body and mind. In other words, we are codependent. At the same time, we must face the reality that, irrespective of any belief we might subscribe to, we are all impermanent. Discovering a universal humanity. I have said this before, but it's important to emphasize that as long as we are human beings, we all go through the same stages of life. We get sick because we are made up of living matter. We get old because our bodies are constantly renewing themselves. It may sound strange, but our bodies today are not the same ones we had 5 years ago, and we have also changed the way we look at things. Ultimately, we will one day die. That's something we all share. We may rarely get sick, or die young, but all of us die. And yet, we seem to live as if this world was our permanent home. We live a life hanging on to our possessions. We put ourselves above everyone else, believing that we are independent and don't need anyone else. I admit I am also guilty of holding on to such delusions. However, now I commit myself each day to be more mindful of these thoughts. I don't want to continue suffering under the influence of afflictive desires, to lose all reason as I am burned by hate. Most importantly, I seek to free myself from the chains of ignorance. An ignorance rooted in an attachment to all the world has to offer. I'm no better than others. This might sound harsh, but we often cling to an idea that we are the most important thing in life. Don't get me wrong, I am important, but I must never forget that who I am today and what I have achieved was only possible thanks to the many people who had a part to play in my life and those who influenced me through their teaching and ideas. There may be many people to thank, many I don't even know or met personally, or whom I'll ever meet. We often forget that our experience today depends on a chain of people which make our life possible. Life in a cup of tea. As I await my cup of tea, I remember my dad who is brewing the tea. I thank him for taking the time to prepare it for me. But I must also thank the ones who packed the tea for my consumption. The people who have sold the tea to my family. The merchant who got the tea to Malta, my country. The people who have collected the tea leaves in convenient sachets. Last, but most crucial, the people who spent the time picking the tea leaves and those who've processed them to produce the basic component of my cup of tea. So many people and so many connections. There are, of course, many other factors that made this moment of drinking my tea possible, but I would bore you to death. And I have learned that every instance of our experience is unique and precious. This is the reason I have decided to open my heart and express what has been silenced for a long time. I have found meaning in my life. I have found an authentic freedom and happiness beyond my expectations. I am at peace. Yet, as long as I'm human, I will still get sad, still get angry, and still feel resentment. However, as I meditate during this quiet afternoon, I realize that as I develop my mindfulness, I feel free from the suffering caused by a failure to recognize the essential impermanent nature of my human experience. Freedom from the suffering caused by a belief that I don't need anyone in this life. Embracing the human heart. Truly, when I state that I'm opening my heart to you as a person and describing my embrace of the Buddhist way, I'm simply sharing with you, a stranger, an experience of discovery. While everyone finds happiness in their own ways, I only wanted to share with you a realization and an affirmation that I have found refuge in the Buddhist way. I am not even saying that I abandoned all I learned from Christianity. Truth is truth. Today, I'm actually sharing my humanity. And that transcends all our divisions we might build to separate us from each other. Perhaps we fear to admit that, in essence, our differences are secondary to the most important reality in our life. The reality of being human. Tuesday, April 10th, 2012. In search of perfect peace. First, a haiku. I sought perfection. To find nothingness in death. Barren, perfect peace. Now, a few reflections. There is a sense of peace as I write this entry on the last day of my Easter break. Indeed, I feel well enough to return to work tomorrow. I did a lot of writing and soul searching in the past weeks and, to be honest, I feel rather worn out. Of ideas, at least. There was so much to process over the last weeks that I can't believe that it all happened just like that. The time I spent at hospital is now but a memory. As I slowly return to my usual routine, all that happened before seems so irrelevant and, yes, unreal. The only thing that remains is the insight I have gained from that experience. I feel that I've given so much of myself over the last weeks or two. Now, I'm ready to receive and bear witness to life. But is this real peace? When we talk of peace, we usually think of a state where there exists no conflict and we have no more to worry about. We dream of achieving an ultimate state of perfection. When all things go as we have planned. When reality matches our dreams and aspirations. But this isn't how life works. That perfect peace is but an illusion that causes so much unnecessary suffering. It deprives us of an opportunity to change. It turns living into mediocrity. I don't know what motivated me to write on peace and perfection. Perhaps it's an attempt to understand why there comes a point when I really have nothing to say, a point when we have to admit that we must be receptive to the world around us, a moment in time when our minds have to let go of their preconceptions and tendency to judge. Yes, I have sought perfection and peace as I saw them, but achieving both could bring about a kind of death, not necessarily a physical one but more of a spiritual one. For the real peace I seek should be one that celebrates life and embraces change. For life is, in truth, change. A person who doesn't grow or renew is but a corpse, devoid of life and lacking a spirit of humanity. I, myself, have struggled with the idea of perfection. I felt that I could never be at peace if my body wasn't close to the ideal body that society so glorified and commended. I was, indeed, physically impaired and, later, acquired a visual impairment. These didn't fit well with the bodily ideal of perfection that I was exposed to. We dream of a time when we will end all this material suffering. Yet, I dare ask whether if we really become perfect, would this world truly be a better place? If we became immortal and retain our youthful energy, would that make us better humans? Again, I don't have the answers. What I know is that over the years I always depended on others in some way or another. I have felt moments when I did hate my body for being limiting and restrictive. Yet, today, I have come to realize that society had a role to play in making me feel unwanted, unwelcome or even a burden. And yet, I'm not totally dependent on others. On the contrary, I'm sure that others depend on me. But even if I didn't, would that reduce my value as a person? Is our worth as humans dictated by what we do? I'm afraid that in the West, where the economy has gained considerable influence and power over our lives, we are being valued more for what we do rather than on who we are. The simple fact is that we are commodifying life. We are treating other human beings like us as property. Suddenly, people are defined in terms of economics. Make no mistake, this is modern slavery. And we accept it because we have become too attached to the material fruit of this state of affairs. There's nothing wrong with that. Indeed, I really enjoy the good things that the modern world has made possible. Indeed, if I think about it, it would be unimaginable for me to reach the world through writing if it weren't advances in technology, in political and social organization and, yes, in our economy. However, the danger is when we become slaves to this material wealth. It is then when we lose sight of the important things in life. It's then that money takes the place of human life. It's then when we have regress. It's when we persist in perceiving ourselves as separate and independent individuals that the tragedy happens. When countries fail to intervene while there's still hope that lives can be saved, that we fail. We can never be separate. We can never claim to be independent. I end this rather unstructured post with hope. Hope that the world will one day be at peace. This isn't saying that I hope that all disease will be eradicated, not that isn't commendable, nor that people will not age or die anymore. I can't hold on to unrealistic hopes. Painful as they might be, these realities, I learned, are an intrinsic part of the process of life. Without them, change wouldn't happen and new life would be impossible. What I hope is that we, me included, recognize our essential humanity, our essential common experiences. For whatever your creed or belief, you must face the same stages of life as anyone else, including death. This is the reality. We may choose to waste our lives pursuing a perfection that isn't there and a peace that doesn't really satisfy us, when instead, we should appreciate what we have and, yes, improve on it. But not at the cost of losing our compassion and ability to relate to other human beings as persons and not as objects. When Buddha was teaching the Four Noble Truths, the first truth he taught was that life is dukkha. The word dukkha is a Pali word which has been inaccurately translated as suffering. However, A more accurate translation of the word dukkha is dissatisfaction, a dissatisfaction that cannot be resolved until we stop hanging on to our attachments, whether they are material or abstract in nature. Paradoxically, we may find peace in our lives and discover perfection in our lives when we recognize that peace and perfection aren't in the future, that in reality they can be found in our ordinary everyday lives. If we are prepared to receive. And is this the authentic peace we are seeking? Is this a perfection that transcends all things? You decide.
The blog Zone Mind can be found at http://zonemind.gordongd.com. For more content by Gordon, kindly visit Gordon GD's homepage at http://www.gordongd.com. Thanks for listening.